Hello, welcome to the last day of Podmas. This is episode 12, and I'm actually recording it on day 2. And it's a bit of a bonus episode, and it might be a bit longer than 12 minutes. In fact, it will be a bit longer than 12 minutes. So today I am talking to Mr. Wanderloos, who is my husband, Ollie.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about how we, as a couple, manage my freelance career with his full-time career and juggling kind of being a mum and a dad and working. So, how have you found it?
What? Having a baby?
let's not tell everyone about how all of our marriage secrets. No, how have you found having a baby but then helping me get back to work?
I mean, it's been a bit easier for me, probably than most people, because for your standard person who both work in offices or in a job that they have to go to work, there is a time limit on the amount of time that you can not be at home. So I think we've been quite lucky in that, because you do work at home and you can, to some extent, move your time around, we've been able to, you've probably been able to do more than the average person.
Yeah.
But within that, it means that you effectively have to work when the baby's here.
Yeah.
So work when the baby's asleep, or work on Sundays when I have the day off.
Yeah.
Because I work every other Saturday. So Lizzie only has 3 days out of 14 that she doesn't have the baby, which is pretty poor odds. The odds are not in her favour.
But, your Sunday, which is your only Sunday, is your only day, you only have 2 days off a month.
No, I get two Saturdays and four Sundays.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, of course you do.
I get, what's that, six? Not a lot for all those people who think my agency is easy.
Yes, that's true. Okay, we're not, this is not a public service announcement for estate agency.
Other jobs are available.
But be nice to your estate agent, they work really hard. That aside, back to me now.
Yeah, back to you in the studio.
Have you found that? Because every Sunday, basically, well, up until recently, well, until I stopped breastfeeding, really, you would get up with the baby and give me a lie-in, and then my day would be almost mine to do whatever I wanted.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
But, isn't very fair. How have you found that?
I think, like, there's two sides of it. So when you were breastfeeding,
yeah,
you couldn't be away from, or the baby couldn't be away from you for any stints longer than 4 hours, really.
Yeah.
So you could pump a bit and we could get to the stage that I could go out with her for about 4 hours or half a day or whatever.
Yeah.
But we always had to be close.
Yeah.
So
that was quite hard, actually, wasn't it? Because I couldn't, and it really annoys me that people presume that if you're breastfeeding, so I breastfed until quite recently, so almost 7 months. And really the only reason that I wasn't breastfeeding is because I went to Japan, which I guess we'll talk about because that was a work thing. But I have never been able to pump, really. I would spend maybe occasionally I would, but not on a regular basis. And I just presumed, because that's what people said, that, oh, like, if you breastfeed, it'd be fine because you'll be able to pump and blah, blah, blah. But actually, and I've heard from other people that they've had the same issues. You don't realise that actually pumping isn't a given, and because breastfeeding is kind of psychological as well as, like, your milk flowing is a psychological thing as well as a biological thing. Is that the right way of saying it?
Yeah, it's like physiological as well as...
Yes, exactly.
If you're not in the right place, or if you're not in the right frame of mind, it's not going to happen.
Like, there's, yeah, and like...
There's certain trigger things.
The latch of a cold plastic... breast pump is not the same as your baby. You don't get the same, like, warm fuzzy feelings as when your baby latches, so the milk doesn't always come as readily. And sometimes I would sit there in front of the TV with my boob out, pump attached like a bloody cow, and be pumping for 40 minutes and get 100 millilitres or something pathetic like that. Yeah. And it's so soul destroying.
And then other times you'd just be sat there and, like, you'd basically just be leaking.
Yes,
able to, like, collect that.
Yes, that was so frustrating. So frustrating. So actually, that made life a little bit difficult.
Yeah, so, like, before, while you were breastfeeding, or when you were breastfeeding, it was, I think, more difficult for you.
Yeah, it was.
because you had to basically work around the baby's schedule, which is, yeah, generally 3 to 4 hours, but it's not. It changes and moves, and depending on how she feels, etc.
Yeah, exactly. Like if she's going through a growth spurt or whatever, she's going to need more milk, and sometimes she just wants the comfort. And
yeah, exactly. But within that, you had to do pretty much all the night feeds as well.
Yeah.
So actually, if you, you know, if you strip it back, you basically were on a 3 to 4 hour cycle, which included doing everything that one would normally expect to do in a day, plus trying to work.
Yeah.
Which is difficult even at the best of times, and especially when your husband's out of the house for 12 hours a day.
Yeah.
So I thought that at least if you had some time on a Sunday, then even if you didn't get work done, then at least you could do stuff rather than just baby stuff.
Yeah, because that does actually send you a bit mental. I think something that I didn't appreciate really was, even if you take away the fact needing to go back to work for money or whatever, sometimes you just need to not be around your baby and not be a mum. Because I think by Sunday I was normally a bit cabin feverish.
Yeah, normally you're like, I need something. I need either a break or to get out of the house. Yeah. But then like post breastfeeding, and which coincided with Japan, which was work as well. So, you know, that kind of changed, didn't it? And then it meant that you could go out longer, or you could do stuff.
Yeah, so we should talk about that. So I went to Japan. If you follow me on Instagram or follow my blog or whatever, you'll know that I went to Japan for a really short time.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't normally do that. I got a lot of comments like, oh my God, you're crazy to go for 48 hours. Well, the reason that I did that is because I was being paid by a tourist board to promote a destination. Otherwise, I wouldn't obviously go to Japan for like
72 hours.
Yeah, it was a bit longer than 48 hours, but actually the time that we spent in Japan was a tiny bit less than 48 hours. But anyhow,
spent about the same amount traveling, I think, than you did in Japan.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we did. In fact, I think there was more time traveling.
So, yeah.
So if you think about it, both flights were 14 hours each.
Plus layover.
Plus traveling to the airport. Anyhow, that aside, so when I knew that was coming up, it was a case of, I got the opportunity maybe a month before, month to 6 weeks before we went, before I actually flew, I was approached by the company and obviously said yes immediately, and invited a blogging friend to come along who also created content for it. And I was really lucky because the three of us got to hang out and da, da, da. It was just one of those opportunities that you just don't want to say no to. But my immediate reaction at that point was, how the fuck am I going to do it, because I'm breastfeeding?
Because it was during a week as well.
So during the week, yeah.
It was like a Tuesday to Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was Wednesday to Saturday. But obviously you were at Saturdays and you were working that Saturday. Were you?
No, I think I had that one off.
Yeah, you did. Of course you did. Anyhow, but we knew at this point that I wanted to stop breastfeeding. I just didn't know how to go about doing it. And actually, it was probably the best thing that could have ever happened, because it was like cold turkey. I was breastfeeding her in like the morning before I went to Heathrow. I breastfed her. My boobs are like rock solid. It was so painful. On the flight on the way out there, I had to literally be sat in my seat pumping. On the flight, while everyone around me was sleeping.
Some Japanese businessmen stared at you.
Yeah, luckily it was just a really sweet woman next to me, and obviously my friend Lauren was on the other side of me, so it was no drama. But I was, and the plane was so noisy you couldn't hear the normal pump noise. But thanks also to Medela, hashtag Spon, for gifting me that amazing manual breast pump, which is brilliant for travel because it's so tiny. But anyway, I didn't know what was going to happen, and I thought maybe my boobs might explode, because I had never really gone that long without breastfeeding her.
Yeah.
But it was fine, like, for me.
Yeah, I mean, it was easy for me. I mean, she was at nursery for the days that I was working, so.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not going to claim much daddy daycare for that. but actually, we found that since you stopped breastfeeding, we've moved her out of the bedroom.
Which happened at the same time.
It's been a lot easier. She sleeps better sleeping, like, actually in hindsight, quite poorly.
Yeah.
Beforehand, but now she'll wake up once a night, maybe twice. So when I was working, it wasn't difficult to kind of manage her having a nursery and then the nights on my own. I mean, my parents came to help out in the evenings.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually need them.
Yes.
Looking back, like, I could have done
I didn't
it on
think
my
that
own,
you were going to need them, but, you
but
know.
I guess if she had been difficult, then I would have needed them because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to eat.
That's true, that's true.
Thanks to my mum for it.
And yet, I just have to point out that Ollie did go away for 4 days at a stag do when Anais was about 4 months old, and nobody came to help me out.
Yeah, at least
and I didn't get to eat.
She didn't eat for 4 days.
I did eat, but I certainly wasn't.
I don't think you showered, though. Or at least if you did.
I did, I did. I did. No, but you know what? We have a really easy baby, so...
Yeah.
She's not difficult. And now she sleeps from, like, 6 p.m. to...
About 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And then wakes up once, normally about 3-ish.
Yeah, she woke up at 3 last night.
Yeah.
And do you know what? She was super easy. This is a complete aside. Sometimes she's a real dick when she wakes up. and she's really painful. But last night, I literally just fed her. She fell asleep. Put her in her car. It was so easy. She, like, guzzled down her bottle in about 5 minutes flat.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't have to kind of help her get back to sleep. Didn't go off air. Yeah. Just literally was like, yep, great. Drunk that. Going back to sleep now.
But, like, I think
it's not always like that.
Since that move away from breastfeeding, it's allowed you to have a bit more independence and allowed you to kind of actually do work. So when your mum or my mum comes down, or when she's at nursery or whatever, you actually now have a bit more independence and don't have to think, oh my god, I've got a pump, I've got to do X, I've got to do Y. It gives you a bit more time actually to do work.
Yeah, so that's true.
Your actual amount of working hours has gone up since stopped breastfeeding.
The other thing that I think would be cool to talk about is our decision to send her to nursery, because I was chatting to somebody, another freelancer who has a baby who's a little bit older, I think maybe 9 months, and she was saying about, you know, justifying the cost of nursery when you're a freelancer, and I had that real, that was at the back of my mind always with nursery. And there's lots of different options, isn't there, for childcare? And we did try out the whole, like, family helping, because so both of our mums, we're really lucky. They're both awesome, and we get on with both of them really, really well. And they help out fairly regularly, but not to the level where you could book them in for, like, a 9 till 6 every single week.
They both live 2 hours away.
They live quite far away, so having family look after Anais kind of on a regular basis isn't an option for us. It's like a bit of a bonus. So
yeah, you'll get maybe, well, your mum will come down once a week, once a fortnight.
Sometimes, yeah.
For half a day.
Yeah.
And then my mum will do roughly the same, but also half a day. So,
and hers is a bit more, both fluid, sets, they're a bit more erratic. Or both of them are quite erratic, because your mum, like, they both have lives out, and, you know, your mum...
Yeah, they both work.
Yeah.
And your mum...
Yeah. And my mum looks after my nephew full time. So, it, like, she doesn't have, she has, like, not that much time. But also, neither of them are able to always do, like... to kind of say, I can do Wednesday every week for this amount of hours.
Until?
For the foreseeable.
Yeah.
We're really lucky because both sets come down a lot and help us. And I know that that's not the case for the majority of people, especially when you live in London. But anyhow, so family wasn't an option in terms of full-time care. And then we looked into childminders. And I think a friend of mine, her mum was a childminder, and she had a childminder for her little ones. And I have friends who've used childminders and found it really, really helpful, because they are cheaper than nursery, I think, typically. And there's a website called childminder.co.uk, and I think that's kind of maybe, it might even be childminder.gov. I'm not really sure.
Is that the Google of childminders?
Yeah, basically. And you can see if they've got CRB checks and stuff like that. I found it quite difficult actually navigating that system, and I didn't find anyone that was particularly close or easy or whatever.
Weren't many local ones were there at all?
No, because that's the thing with a childminder, you have to then, well, I suppose it's different depending on the childminder, but you'll have to drop the baby off at their house.
Yeah. I guess same for nursery, you have to drop them off. But if the nursery is 5 minutes away and the child mind is 20 minutes away.
Exactly.
And you've got to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning and then go to work.
Yeah.
It's an easy decision, isn't it, from a time point of view.
But when I was pregnant, I'm so glad I did this as well, because it's so much easier to do stuff before, like when you're pregnant. I looked at a couple of nurseries then just to get it out of the way, and I found a place that I liked.
Yeah, it was just pretty close.
Really close, yeah. It's so cute. I just love them. I love them there. And they're not the cheapest, but they're also not the most expensive.
Yeah, but also, you know, if you asked most parents when their kids are young and old, like, oh, when you bought a car seat, did you get the cheapest one or did you get a normal one?
Yeah, that's true. People
would say, oh, I've got the normal one. So for people to say, oh, why didn't you go for the cheapest nursery, is a bit of an oxymoron,
I think.
Because it is an investment in both yours but also your child's future.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't leave your child with some random. So why would you leave your child with some random nursery that's cheap?
I don't think anyone would really, but I think what people would do, well, I'm speaking for myself here as a mum. I think a mum who's freelancing and having that, you know, going back to work conundrum, I think what actually happens is that we go, oh, we're not worthy of paying this money and investing in our careers, so we'll just stay at home and try and do everything and feel a bit frustrated.
Which is,
But I was really lucky because you were super, super, super supportive, and it was actually between Sheryl Sandberg and you, you gave me the, I don't know, not permission, because you're not giving me any permissions.
No. I can do it.
Because we thought, you know, this isn't, like you said it, it's an investment.
Yeah, it's the same as if you were to look at starting up a cafe. And, okay, you need to refurb the cafe, you need to buy X, Y, and Z, and it's going to cost you 10 grand to set up your cafe. If you look at a freelance business and say, okay, I need to work 2.5 days a week or 3 days a week, whatever it may be, and the cost of nursery is X, and therefore my investment over the coming 3 months is, I don't know, £2,000 probably, if that. If you were to be a businessman and look at your ROI, it's obvious which one you're going to pick.
Yeah.
And in fact, most people don't look at it like that. Most people think, oh my God, I'm spending all this money now. But yeah, you're spending money now in order to accumulate money in the future. It's like a pension, or it's like a savings account.
Yeah.
People wouldn't say, oh, you shouldn't pay into your pension.
Or, yeah, that's so true. Oh,
you shouldn't set up a savings account. Never know what's going to happen to it.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Apart from Tom.
Apart from Tom, who works in pensions, but and we probably shouldn't reveal all of his secrets.
Yeah, that's a good point.
he also supports Tom and Hotspur, but that's irrelevant for this conversation. But yeah, like, I think that people come about it at the wrong way, and I think that is partly the way our society is that a lot of the burden.
That's the patriarchy. It's the fault of the patriarchy.
Yeah. As head of the patriarchy, a lot of the burden of who pays that cost is the female side of the family.
Yeah,
and actually, so if you think about it, if that was a male cost, if you were to do a straw poll of 100 men and 100 women, and you said to 100 men, right, you can either pay £1,500 a month and go back to work and earn X, or you can not pay £1,500 and stay at home.
Yeah.
What percentage of those men would invest that £1,500 and go to work? And if you did the same for women, 100 women, I'm pretty sure you'd find that the men, the vast majority, at least 90%, would say, no, I'm investing that money because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, yeah.
But women would think of it from a different aspect because of the patriarchy. But actually, it's slightly different how you think about it as a man and a woman, but also, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think most people can, like, live at home with a baby full-time with nothing else. And not go a little bit crazy.
That doesn't have to be, that's like not a judgment.
No, people can.
It's not, it doesn't have to be earning money, like having an outlet outside of looking after children.
And the same is true for people, you know, people who work, just work.
Yeah, I agree.
And we all get surprised when they burn out, but they've worked 20 hours for 10 years. It's a good point. The same.
So in terms of nursery costs, the kind of a bit of a misnomer or something that I think will really hold people back is looking at it in terms of, as the woman, I pay this amount of money, and we send her for the minimum amount, don't we? One and a half days a week. I have to earn that money back, and looking at it like, oh, I'm only going to break even this month, or, but it's not just a cost on the woman, it's a cost for the family. So at, like you pointed out, so that, you know, the amount that we pay for childcare, if we were sending her full time, it would cost £1,500.
Yeah.
That's not on me to earn £1,500.
And in fact, it would be insane to suggest that someone who is going back to work after 6 months should be in their own business rather than going back to like a contracted role, should be expected to earn what they were earning before.
Yeah.
Having not done it for 6 months,
yeah,
you know, you wouldn't go to the gym after 6 months off and be like lifting the same weights or running the same distance.
That's a good analogy. Because yeah, you wouldn't expect that.
Your body's not trained for it, and the same way your brain's not trained for it, and you're not in the same boat. So it's pretty harsh that we expect people to do this.
But we do.
But we do, and it's ridiculous. And the government needs to look at it. Come on, TM, sort it out. You've done nothing.
Theresa May is the worst, isn't she?
Do one thing.
Well, we won't get political.
No. Other political parties are available.
That's true, they are. And it'd be great if other political parties were in power right now.
But any of them, really.
We have got political.
Anyway, let's moving ignore on.
That. Let's we'll move cut on. That out. No. So, yeah, so if you're someone who is freelancing, like me, or just, you know, yeah, if you're a freelancer, if you're self-employed, you're a mama and you want to go back to work, but you're stressing about childcare and things like that, there are a few options. And you know what, like, if I'm honest, it's none of them are perfect. But don't think of the money that you're spending on childcare. If you're lucky enough to be able to afford it, don't think that that's just on you and that's on you to earn back. And even if, like, for the first couple of months, you're not even earning any money after paying childcare, that's not a waste. I suppose that's what I want to say. It's not a waste. And I know this is coming from a place of massive bloody white privilege, in that I am middle class and all the rest of it, and have a husband who is a high earner, so can afford to be in this position and all the rest of it. I don't want to go into my financial.
Here's my
here are my bank details.
Check my insurance payments.
Hey, I'm all paid up.
Yeah, allegedly.
Hey, not allegedly. I am.
Fuck you, HMRC.
No, don't. Don't ever be mean to them. They're nice people. Please don't listen to this podcast, HMRC. Stop it. I don't want to have to edit this.
Okay.
Yes, I forgot what I was saying now. I've lost my train of thought.
Yeah, you were saying that if you're, if you are investing in that time, don't feel like you're not earning money.
Just... Oh, I was putting the caveat of, this is my truth, but it's not going to be the same for everybody because everyone's got a different financial situation. But one of the things that I did as well is looked at my different revenue streams, and I'm going to be focusing more on some of the other ways that I earn money next year. And I probably won't be doing, I won't be doing as much journalism because it doesn't work out as well for me because there's so much time investment.
Yeah, your pounds per hour is not as great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a better way of putting it. I was rambling. But so I'll be focusing on some of the other work that I do where I get paid a lot better, but I do it a lot less, which is kind of stupid.
Yeah, thinking about it like a business.
Yes, basically, yeah. I'm totally thinking about my business as a business.
Yeah, it might mean that, yeah, you do one day extra stuff that's not necessarily quite so creative.
Isn't my favourite, yeah.
But, you know, it brings in more money, so...
And it pays for the creative stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you the freedom to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Which is...
Gives me the freedom to create this lovely free content. Free content for you.
But that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's why people set up freelance businesses, or why people go freelance,
is
so that they have the freedom to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
you know, very rarely, I think, that people set up freelance businesses in order to earn billions of pounds.
That's true. You it's know, about it's, time, isn't it? And lifestyle and all the rest of it. Yeah,
and it, all of those things added together into some kind of crazy formula to bring you happiness. But
it's very deep.
Yeah, very economic. Yeah.
I think that's a really good point to end it on. Thank you for listening. Carry on tweeting me. I don't know why I say carry on. Nobody has tweeted me about Podmas. Nobody seems to care about it. But maybe by the 12th day you will. Subscribe to the podcast, like it, review. If you're going to say something nice, if you're not going to say something nice, then just don't say anything at all. Or send me a message on Instagram and tell me you hate it. That's fine. If you need to get that, you know, that out there, then you can do it in other ways. yes, tweet me at WanderlooseBlog. I'm at WanderlooseBlog on Instagram and Facebook. And you can join the super exclusive, awesome Facebook group for What She Said podcast. It's really fun. Yeah, I think that's it. Have a nice day.
Have a nice day.